This message is given in the name of Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, no matter where you go in this country, you can be sure that you will be confronted with signs. There are various traffic signs. There are billboard signs all along the highway. There are signs in stores pointing us to products that we need and many that we don't need. We look at the sky for signs of what the weather may be like. Doctors, they check our bodies for signs of health or illness. I'm afraid there are countless kinds of signs in this world. In our gospel reading for today, some Jewish leaders demand that Jesus give them a miraculous sign to prove to them that he is what he claimed to be. And what did he claim to be? The eternal Son of God who came to save sinners. Now, of course, they didn't believe that Jesus was God. And even more, they didn't like it when Jesus told them to repent of their sin and trust in him for forgiveness. You see, they thought they were good enough to be forgiven. Therefore, they demanded that Jesus prove himself to them by giving them a miraculous sign. However, you need to know that their request was terribly out of place. Why? Two reasons. The first reason their request was out of place is that Jesus had already performed many miracles, proving that he was who he claimed to be. But I'm afraid the miracles that Jesus gave them were not good enough for them. You see, they wanted Jesus to perform a miracle of their own choosing. Now, the second reason their request was out of place is that the Old Testament scriptures, which the Jewish leaders claimed to believe and respect, those scriptures were filled with prophecies about the Savior of sinners whom God would send into the world. And guess what? Jesus was fulfilling every single one of those prophecies. And so Jesus rebukes their rebellious unbelief with these words. He says, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign." What does Jesus mean? Simply put, God in his mercy has given us many signs to prove that his Son, Jesus, is our Lord and Savior. But the devil tempts us to reject the signs God has given us and then to demand our own signs from God in their place. In fact, we're guilty of the same sin when we ignore the signs that God has given us and then look for signs of our own choosing. For instance, many people in our culture no longer respect Holy Scripture as God's perfect and holy sign to us sinners. Instead, we're tempted to trust our own reason and our own senses and thereby come to our own conclusions about God and spirituality. In fact, in America and around the world, God has become a matter of one's personal opinion and experience. When confronted with God's sign in Holy Scripture, many people respond by saying, "I don't see why I need to believe what the Bible says. I mean, if God wants me to believe that, he'll have to prove it to me himself." The Jewish leaders in Jesus' day trusted in their own interpretation of Holy Scripture, which they had twisted and which they had contorted to suit their own ideas and opinions about God and salvation. And I'm afraid we face the same evil today. Therefore, Jesus says to them and also to us, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. I realize we have many guests here today, and so you need to know that my sermon series for Lent and Easter was based on the book of Jonah, which is why on the front of your bulletin cover it says, The Sign of Jonah. Now you need to know that about 800 years before Jesus was born, God told his prophet Jonah to preach his word to the wicked and evil people in the city of Nineveh. But Jonah refused. Why? Well, Jonah knew that if he preached God's word to the people of Nineveh, there was a chance that they would repent of their sin, and then God would forgive them. But Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. They were the enemies of his people. And so Jonah wanted them to burn in hell. Therefore, Jonah ran in the opposite direction. He rented a passage on a boat headed for a city called Tarshish. But when Jonah was at sea, God sent a horrible storm. Jonah ends up in the ocean, and God sends a huge fish, possibly a shark, to swallow Jonah. And we're told that Jonah was in the belly of this huge fish for 3 days. My friends, for all practical purposes, Jonah was as good as dead. But then, God worked a miracle. After Jonah had been in the belly of the fish for 3 days, God moved the fish to vomit Jonah out on shore, and God gave Jonah back his life. Jonah realized that he could not run from God, and so he finally agreed to preach God's word to the people of Nineveh. And guess what? When the people of Nineveh heard Jonah's sermon and how God was going to judge them for their many sins, they believed God's word. They repented of their sin, and they cried out to God for mercy. And guess what? God forgave them. Now you might wonder, how is it possible for a holy and just God to forgive sinners? Is just saying sorry enough to be forgiven? Actually, no. God doesn't forgive us because we say we're sorry, although that's an important part of being saved. You can't receive forgiveness unless you admit that you're guilty in the first place. But saying sorry is not the reason God forgives us. Why does he forgive us? We'll talk about that in a bit. First of all, in today's gospel reading, you need to note that Jesus says, one greater than Jonah has come. What does he mean by that? Well, he means two things. First, Jonah was a sinful human being, but Jesus was absolutely sinless, perfect. Secondly, Jonah was a mere human being, but Jesus was and is God. God in human flesh. So, if you think God giving new life to Jonah after he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, then how much more is it a miraculous sign that Jesus rose from the dead after being in a tomb for 3 days? In other words, Jesus is telling the Jews of his day and also us today that the sign he has given to us is his own resurrection from the grave after being dead for 3 days. My friends, Jesus' resurrection is God's sign to us that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the eternal Son of God who came into this world to save us from our sins. But if Jesus is God, why did he die in the first place? Have you ever thought about that? If Jesus is God, why did he hang on the cross and die? Good question. As you know, Jesus died one of the most horrible deaths ever invented. He died as a result of being crucified. But if Jesus is God, why would he allow that to be done to him? If Jesus is God, why didn't he simply destroy his enemies? answer is simple. Jesus died on the cross because he was doing that to save his enemies. You want to know why God was able to forgive the people of Nineveh? You want to know why God is able to forgive you and me? Today's Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah lived about the same time as the prophet Jonah, over 800 years before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Now in today's reading from Isaiah chapter 53, we hear first about Jesus' death. You see, my friends, no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He could have wiped out his enemies with one word. Instead, Jesus allowed himself to be whipped and to be beaten and to be crucified because this is how God chose to save us from our sins. God took your sin, he took my sin, he took Jonah's sin, he took the sin of the people of Nineveh, he took the sin of the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day, he took the sin of all people who would ever live, he took that sin, he put it on his son, and he damned Jesus in our place so that we could be forgiven and live in God's love forever. You see, that's why the cross is at the center of the Christian faith. Even though forgiveness is free for us, it costs God everything. In our culture, people tend to think that forgiveness is just a simple thing. You know, we come to God, we say we're sorry, and he says, oh, no big deal. Everybody does it. Don't worry about it. Wrong. Forgiveness is not that cheap. When God says that he forgives you, what he's really saying is, my child, you should have burned in hell forever for just one sin. But instead of giving you what you deserve, I gave you my son. Jesus suffered the hell that should have been yours. And because of him, I can say to you, your sins are forgiven. Therefore, what we need to understand is that this awesome and undeserved gift of salvation does us no good if we refuse to repent of our sin, or if we see no need to trust in Jesus because we think we can save ourselves by trying to be good. That's why Jesus warned the Jewish leaders with these words. He said, "The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah." I remember one time watching an Oprah Winfrey show where she was interviewing people about their spirituality. One of the people said, "Oh, Jesus was a good prophet, but he certainly wasn't God. He was a good prophet like lots of other spiritual leaders. You see, the main thing is that we try to be good. As long as we're good people, God will take us to heaven." My friends, that kind of talk might appeal to millions, but that kind of talk is coming straight from the pit of hell. That kind of belief will lead straight to eternity apart from God's love. Simply put, if we think our sin is no big deal, or if we think we can save ourselves from our sin by being good people, then we thereby reject God's gift of salvation and send ourselves to hell. But my friends, God doesn't want that for any sinner. That's why he sent us Jesus. God wants us to repent of our sin and then trust in Jesus for salvation. That's why God has given us a sign greater than the sign of the prophet Jonah. God points us to his son who rose from the tomb 3 days after he died for our sins. Jesus lives, my friends. When we come here to worship, we don't come here to remember a dead martyr. We come here to celebrate and praise and honor our living Lord and Savior. In fact, that's our motivation for doing good works as Christians. We don't do good works so we can boast before God and somehow claim that he owes us one. No, our motivation for doing good works is simply to thank and praise God who loved us so much that he sent his son to be our Savior. Our good works are simply a response to the salvation God has freely given us in his son. That's why we come to worship him on a regular basis. What an awesome God we have. Jesus lives. Jesus' resurrection is a sign to us that he is our Lord and Savior. In fact, 800 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah also wrote about his resurrection. Listen again. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life. The one who died for our sins is alive. Many people saw Jonah alive after they had given him up for dead. In the same way, many people saw Jesus alive after having seen him die on a cross. You see, my friends, the Christian faith is not some myth or fairy tale. It's a historical reality. Hundreds of people witnessed the death of Jesus, and hundreds of people witnessed his resurrection. Those who did not want to believe in him could not prove that he didn't rise from the dead. They had all these witnesses who were willing to die for that fact because they had seen him. You might wonder why so many people refuse to believe in Jesus. The reason is a heart that is focused on itself and doing its own thing is going to reject the truth even when it stares us straight in the face. That's why God does everything he can to break through our foolishness, to break through our own self-delusions, so that we can see the truth. The truth is that we are sinners who deserve to go to hell. But God loved us so much that he sent his own son to hell in our place, that through repentance and faith in him, we might be forgiven and live forever as he now lives for all eternity. My friends, the sign of Jesus' resurrection has been passed down through the ages so that more and more people may repent of their sins and receive forgiveness, just as the people of Nineveh did. But there's more. One day, the risen Jesus will return visibly in power and glory, and then all people will be judged. How will things go for you on that day? Well, it all depends on where you stand with God now. You see, if we live and die excusing our sin or ignoring Jesus, then we will be condemned on the final day. But if you live and die acknowledging your sin and trusting in Jesus as your Savior, then guess what? You are already forgiven. And you have absolutely nothing to fear on the day of judgment. In fact, you can look forward to it. Today, God has given you his sign. God has given you a sign greater than the sign of Jonah. God has given you the sign of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, today he gives you another sign. Today, Jesus gives us his own body and blood in this holy supper he has entrusted to his church. Yes, this is yet another miraculous sign that God has given his people. Therefore, along with the people of Nineveh, acknowledge your sins and know that through Jesus you are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight. Jesus died for you. Jesus lives for you. So trust in him and live for him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment,